There's nothing like a good Diet Coke Mentos explosion to make everybody feel happy. Church is a good place to feel happy in. In our scripture reading, it's not so happy. Jesus is having a typical academic debate with the Pharisees, and these kinds of debates weren't necessarily hostile. They were just what religious people did. It's how they learned. It's how they taught. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 23:1. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him,
"You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question.
"What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?"
They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them,
"How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?"
No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This ends our gospel reading. So, this can bring up a lot of questions for us. Messiah is a Hebrew word. It means oiled one. It was given to people who were anointed, like a prophet or a priest or a king. In Greek, the word for oiled one or Messiah is Christos, which we anglicize to Christ. In Jewish eschatology, the Messiah is a descendant of King David who will rule with justice. Cyrus of Persia was called a Messiah because he allowed for the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. So Messiah isn't a word that we apply just to Jesus. Other people are Messiahs. The Jewish philosopher Maimonides said that the Messiah would come when the world needs him the most. For Christians, we apply the word Messiah to Jesus. And we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who will come and put the world right and triumph over evil. So when we all get caught up in the finer points of Mashiach and Messiah and Christos and Christ and what exactly eschatology is all about and what the Messiah actually was, is, and is going to do, and whether or not Maimonides' codification of the Jewish oral law and the Mishnah accurately represents the Jewish law at the time of Jesus, it's good to remember the beginning of the discussion in our gospel lesson. What is the greatest commandment? Love God, love your neighbor. And that was not original with Jesus. Leviticus 19:18 says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Sometimes we get confused about what we are supposed to focus on, and that's why I wanted to sing that song, because it's a good reminder. We do get distracted by other things, and so I have some warnings about what happens when we do forget our one job to love, or just our one job. It's supposed to say fire. And I was pleased to see Madagascar is represented on that t-shirt, although, as I'm sure most of you know, Madagascar is not in Asia. I thought the gardeners would especially appreciate it. They were very determined to have trees, and they didn't mind, laying the bricks out very special to include the trees. ignoring the work that someone else had gone to previously to make sure that people could plant trees easily. The person who wanted the cake said she wanted nothing on it. Let's hope people driving on this road have their lights on so they can see where the road goes, because the sign isn't going to help. So I think sometimes we forget our one job because the directions we were given were confusing, or because we didn't read the directions, or because we were distracted because we had so many things to do at once. Oh, I forgot that one. Can you hit the clicker? So here are some very clear directions to us about what we are supposed to be concentrating on. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 7.
Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life, and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. This ends our reading of God's word. Reciting these words to our children takes a variety of forms in our culture and in our time. So Kurt's going to show you one of the ways we teach our children to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, and our neighbors as ourselves.
Well, thank you. I have a chance to share a little bit of what happened at our summer camp at Westminster Spires this summer. This is from Presbyterianism in Montana, its first 100 years. About 1934 or 1935, Camp Miles, later Camp Spires, later Westminster Spires, on the Cook City Highway about 10 miles above Red Lodge, had its beginnings in Yellowstone Presbytery. This was made possible by funds contributed for a conference group by Elder George M. Miles' widow in Miles City. So we are in about our 80th year of having camp at Westminster Spires. St. Andrew has responded so generously to the call to this ministry at Westminster Spires. And we have a long connection. When Paul Crable was here, you began the Highland Holy Days, a weekend for this congregation to go up to camp and to be together and to worship. And that has gone on for many years. Sandy has been up before this congregation many times, reminding you about Revamp the Camp. And Jim Tarr and Donnie Johnson and the Johnson boys have provided amazing leadership for keeping Revamp the Camp going, getting the camp ready, and have helped keep the facilities ready for use each year. And on behalf of all the campers and the leadership, we're just so thankful for the work that this congregation has done getting the camp ready. Thanks to Sandy again. We raised over $9,000 this year to help start a re-roofing project for the cabins and to do some other improvements to the facilities. Cynthia has been a major part of our camp leadership, being a counselor, leading all of our crafts, being our medical consultant, playing guitar and being camp mom, a role that she has enjoyed very much. As moderator of the Yellowstone Presbytery Camping and Youth Committee, I work with that committee, take care of scheduling, promotion, registration, arranging a lot of the logistics for camp. So this is a volunteer commitment and has been a big part of helping the camp go. So St. Andrew has been very generous in many ways keeping this program going. You have helped out in many ways with scholarship for young people to attend camp this year. Allie and Rose came to camp. Dominic and Nikita and Catherine were at camp. And Eben was at camp. Rachel could not come this year. She was taking driver's ed. Just quickly, over the last 4 years, over 210 new, different young people have participated in either camp or fall retreat or winter ski retreat in Yellowstone Presbytery. That's a lot of new young people who have been exposed to Christ through some of the programs that we have offered. So I'm going to show you a camp show, slideshow in a second. I will let you know, this year a major addition to camp was it was very much a multi-generational camp. We had a number of pastors come and spend either a day or a week with us from their churches. Paul Cannon spent a week with us from Hysham. Jed Kaufman from Lewistown spent a week with us. Susan came up for a day to be with us. Susie Ennis from Poplar came and spent a few days with us. Our oldest daughter, Kara, and her four children, our grandchildren, spent all 3 weeks of camp with us. Kara's an old camper and camp counselor, and she was our consultant to our counselors, if you will. Two of her kids were elementary age campers. They participated in all of our worship, all of the crafts and the recreation. And it really made it very much of a multi-generational time to have a number of adults there and a number of younger kids. One of my favorites was stories as Neva Andrew is one of six children. She's the daughter of David Andrew from Dillon, the pastor who runs her junior high camp. Neva was so happy to get away from her five siblings to be at camp. And it's interesting that the first thing she did was adopt little Annalise Todd as her little sister and spent most of her time being big sister. So I'm sure she missed her own siblings a lot. So it was great to have Kara and her family there. We had a male and a female moose around camp very regularly, and this added to a bit of drama for the children who weren't used to being around moose quite that often. One evening, Eli, who was 10, and Ella, who was 8, were in their cabin down by the girls' cabins alone, and their mom, Kara, was in the bath in the shower room with the other two kids. So here are the 10 and an 8-year-old are alone in their cabin without mom, and the moose is right outside their door. And they were getting quite scared. During that time, Ella is just, she's so frightened, and her brother Eli says to her, "Well, remember, Ella, in Deuteronomy 31, it says, 'Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.'" This is a 10-year-old quoting scripture to comfort his sister. And he's my grandson. And so each evening the counselors share a little bit of time of testimony. Later that evening, as they are sharing this story, Ella says, "Yeah, Eli shared the scripture with me. I think I have my testimony." She's ready to testify. Each year, I am so open to learning lessons from the campers, and this year, once again, one of the lessons I learned was Dominic sleeps in the bunk next to me, on the top bunk, and late at night, after the lights are out, I began to hear each evening, "Kurt, are you still awake?" "Yeah, Dominic, I'm awake. I'll be awake until you go to sleep." And a few minutes later, "Kurt, are you still awake?" "Yeah, Dominic, I'm still awake. I'll be here for you." "Kurt." This happened every night. And the lesson I took from that, would that each of us be asking God, "God, are you still awake? Are you still there for me?" "Yeah, Kurt, I am. I will be with you always." So that was one of the lessons I got from camp this year. This is an incredibly important ministry. We, 7 of our 10 counselors, were back for at least their third year of being a counselor with us. We bring in probably more counselors than we need to, but when I have college students who are really, really good working with young people who want to be with Christ for 3 weeks, I say, "Yeah, be there." And what we have found is that role modeling is so important. Now, we used to worry about, are we going to find enough kids who want to be counselors? Now, I almost have too many. Thank you. And what a wonderful gift we have. We are now having students who have been counselors with us who are graduating from college, and they no longer have that opportunity to continue to come to camp as counselors, but we also have a number of high school kids who are going to be graduating who come in and say, "Gee, when is that application going to be ready to be a counselor for next year?" So we really have developed quite a nice process of, I call them wannabes, students who know someday they want to be a counselor. So we'll show you this slideshow and give you a little bit idea of some of the things that we did at camp this year. Go ahead.
We get to do camp there.
I would just add, we had about 35 to 37 people at camp each week of camp, so it was an amazing time. Our cooks, Bill and Belinda Scott, and their granddaughter, Mara, this was their sixth year of being cooks for us. Mara, at the age of 7, has been at camp 6 years. And is pretty much the camp director at this point. Again, this is just a really, really important ministry, and I thank the people of St. Andrews so much. You've really responded in amazing ways to a very important ministry. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you.